you're getting a bit older and you've been in it for a while, it'd be good, you know, to get some people on, hire some people, some younger guys, and get you off, you know, the physical stuff, because he was just exhausted.
Absolutely.
So, and I sort of, in my experience, I thought I could really add value to what you're doing. I thought if I sort of jumped in.
Welcome to the Tradies in Business podcast with your hosts, Warwick Bidwell and Nicole Cox. Divert your phone and grab a brew as Waz and Nick unpack tips, tales, secrets and stuff-ups from guests both inside and outside your trade, helping educate and inspire you to break the cycle of gut-busting and money stress and create a true trade business.
So joining us on the Tradies in Business podcast today is a lady by the name of Verity Hare, and she runs a group called Tradie Wives. Verity, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And there's this other person sitting next to me in the studio. I think she calls herself the builder's wife.
That'd be me, the other person.
Who I can see on the video screen here looking at the back of my head, because we're sort of not sitting at the same level. Is there something in that, Nick?
Oh, Waz, be careful now. Really stepping in dangerous territory.
It's an appropriate episode to be bringing that sort of thing up, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it is.
So Verity, I should probably give the floor to you, and we have welcomed you to the show. But Tradie Wives, can you tell us a bit about that? What is it, and why do you do it, and how the heck did that come about?
Well, it started when so I left my job to work for my husband, doing sort of – well, he had a landscaping business, and my background is advertising and marketing, and then I also worked at Flight Centre for a little while, and I'd often
and
see
then
him
you escaped.
Coming.
Oh, stop it!
That wasn't for me, but I gave it a go. I gave it a good go, and then realised that it wasn't really my thing.
Yeah.
But I sort of, you know, would watch Craig, my husband, and I'd watch him come home, you know, from a day's work, and sit through all the quoting and send things off, and you know, he's really, really good at what he does, but it's sort of like, I think he was so overwhelmed with all the other things that he had to do apart from just the work.
Yeah.
And at the time he was a sole trader, and he'd been a sole trader for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sort of thought, you know, like, you're getting a bit older and you've been in it for a while, it'd be good, you know, to get some people on, hire some people, some younger guys, and get you off, you know, the physical stuff, because he was just exhausted.
Absolutely.
So, and I sort of, in my experience, I thought I could really add value to what you're doing. I thought if I sort of jumped in, and at the time I wasn't particularly liking what I was doing. So, we sort of thought, oh, we'll give it a go and see what happens. So we changed to a company, we hired a few guys, and we sort of continued to build it, over the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a girlfriend of mine that I always used to call and say, oh, her husband's a builder, and I used to say, oh, how do I do this, or how do I do that, or how do you do this in Xero, or how do you do this? And then she went on to have kids, and she got quite busy, and I thought, oh, I really wish I had people to talk to that, you know, there's always Facebook groups around, but none of them was specific to, like, women and trade.
Yes.
So I was in the shower one morning, and I thought, oh, I wonder if I started a group if anyone would join. And I thought, I was so embarrassed, I thought, what a stupid idea is if anyone's going to join it. So I launched the group, and then I got my girlfriend to join, so at least I had one person in the group. And she said, you know what, if you get 20 people, like, it's 20 people, and I said, I doubt I'll even get 20 people. She goes, okay, well, if you get a couple of people, at least you've got a couple of people to bounce ideas around with.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, yeah, okay. So I started it, and then sort of slowly it started, you know, getting a few people, and people going, oh, this is a good idea. And then it just kind of, like, humped, like, people were just sort of joining. Like, I sometimes would wake up in the morning and have like 60 people wanting to join, or you know, just overnight, and I think, oh gosh, this is really, you know. And the more I watch people having conversations in the group, I thought, oh, I think I've captured something where everybody else is feeling like just like me, not knowing really how to do things or who to ask for help, or you know, feeling a bit lonely from coming from full-time work.
Yes,
being on your own, it was hard.
And so how many members have you got now?
I think I'm, I think I've got maybe almost at 3,800, I think.
Wow. That's amazing. So you've got a few more than 20.
A few more than 20, yeah. So that was really good. I think it's really nice.
Touched on something really important there, Verity, and it's something that is a really big part of my journey and I talk about often is how lonely it is in the beginning of coming on board in this male-dominated industry and trying to find a way to assist the business owner, who's generally your partner or your husband in business, and who do you ask questions? Where do you go to find those answers? It's really lonely starting out that way.
Yeah, and overwhelming. I think it's really overwhelming when you just don't know where to look.
And the source of so much tension between partners. Nick's nodding.
Completely. I keep threatening Craig. I always say to him, Craig, if I die or if I leave you, here's what you need to do.
I thought you were going to say something else. If I die or leave you, you're stuffed.
Yeah. Well, that was what I implied. I was like, I'm going to have to write you a list in case anything happens because God knows how you'd survive.
It's so true. Unfortunately, because they are, and again, you hit this when you first started talking.
Yeah.
Tradies are really good at being tradies. They're really good at doing what they do. Business is a whole nother level. It's a new responsibility. There's so much to learn. There's so much to do. Often there isn't enough time. So as partners and wives, we do get conned, I'm going to say, into being part of the business. That's how mine came about. I was conned into it. I was going to be unpaid and I'd only have to do it part-time and suddenly it grew into a full-time job and, oh, my goodness, then some more. But, you know, there's only so much they can do in a day.
That's right, yeah. So, and I think when they learn their trade, you know, they go to TAFE or whatever or they, you know, they learn their trade. But I don't think they're shown how to run a business, you know, like they're taught the trade, but it's like no one tells them, you know, how to run your own business. I don't think so. I don't think they, you know, really cover that much. So, you know, it's pretty overwhelming to, you know, to do the job and it's very, very physical, what Craig does. And then to come home and have to think about, you know, all the other things that go along with running a business. Mm.
So Verity, 3,800 members and growing, and obviously you're a tradie wife yourself.
Yep.
It's a pretty good sample size as far as the, you know, the stereotypes and the paradigms that we hear about, you know, that tension between the, I guess, stereotypically the husband, the tradie husband and the tradie wife.
Yeah.
Is that true? Like if you look at that cross section of, that's a good group of women on
that's
there.
Right.
Is it actually true or is it just a bit of a thing that we make up because it sounds good to talk about that whole tradie wife syndrome?
I think it is actually a thing. I think it's sort of like, I think a lot of it is, as I said before, going from full-time work to like sort of doing this new role, but no one's telling you how to do the role. You're just sort of making it up as you go along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you kind of create your own role, I suppose, within the business. So it's sort of like you're starting something new, but then you're also losing your identity a bit with what you've done in the past, I think.
Yep.
So that's sort of hard. And then, you know, you've got all the, apart from just the business, you've got all the other things you've got to deal with in relationships and that sort of stuff. So it's like, and then we find it really hard to like, to have our relationship away from business. So it's like, you know, where do you draw the line between work and actually having a relationship with someone? I think it's really difficult to draw that line where, you know, we'll go out for dinner and, you know, Craig and I are both on our phones, like emailing people back or, you know, Craig's texting people about quoting and like, oh, there's got to come a time where we're like, what are we doing? Like, where are we going? You know, like it's hard to draw that line because we, you know, you find yourself talking about work all of the time. And I think that's where the tension comes from. You don't have your own time to just enjoy, you know, being a couple.
Absolutely.
So how have you guys done that?
We haven't. We're still learning how to do that, I think. We sort of try, like, you know, we try to, you know, go out for dinner or something and make a point of not, you know, looking at our phones or, you know, going on a holiday. Not we really had the time to do that for a long time. Hope to maybe next year. But holidays are always our thing to sort of just get away and, you know. But then the thing is when you're on holidays, you feel so relaxed that all these ideas come to you and you're just like, oh, you know, where do you stop? Yeah, that's right. So, but, you know, it's just sort of you just get into your groove after a while and, you know, sometimes things don't bother you anymore and you sort of work it out and just keep going and it just sort of works.
Yeah. Because I've been working with tradies for a while and I know Nick has as well. And it is a big challenge is how to do this thing of working together in business, especially in a trade business where, you know, love my tradie clients and, you know, some of my best mates are tradies.
Yeah.
But honestly, they're just, they're not that great at the softer stuff, you know, the communication and the openness and the understanding and some of those things. And not that I'm trying to get blokes to change. I mean, I've probably been through a bit of stuff where I've learned some about myself and learned how to modify some of those things a little, but, I'm going to ask a question here eventually. but I suppose, you know, you've seen a lot of people in the group. Is there anybody out there actually doing it? You know, are they like, oh yeah, we do this and it works absolutely brilliantly and everything's perfect. You know, does that exist?
I don't think so, really. I think a lot of the people that I read, you know, like I see things on the group, a lot of them are in the same boat and, you know, they say the same thing. They try and go for dinner and make a point of not looking at their phones, or they try and, you know, go away for the weekend and make a point of not talking about work. But I think it comes up no matter what. Like, I think that you can make a point and you can try and separate it, but when you're in, you know, you're working together and you know, it's being your own business, obviously, you just sort of, you get out as much as you put into it. So you feel like you just always want to, you know, you make it better and grow it and have better ideas. And I think with that comes, you know, trying to find a way to get some sort of balance. So eventually for us, we'd like to, you know, get a couple of people, more people working with us and sort of get Craig to step away a bit more. I think that would, he has a lot of like trouble letting go, I think.
Yep.
He can't leave it with other people. Like, he just always feels like he has to oversee everything. So I think it makes him nervous when he's not, you know, he wants everything to be done, you know, like the way that he would do it. So I think once he steps away a bit, and I think with everybody, once, you know, if they can get to a point where you can step back a little bit from the business, I think that that would make it a little bit easier.
Mm.
I agree. It's not an easy thing to do. It's a learned behavior, and it takes a long time to learn that behavior, but the benefits are there, of course.
Yeah.
So with the group then, what are some of the other conversations that you're seeing in there? And I suppose, what's your role? I mean, are you there to give advice to people, or just, you know, sit by and watch as a voyeur, or
watch them all? It started with, you know, as soon as anyone ever asks a question, it's really great because everybody jumps on and will give their advice, or, you know, what they've done in the past if it's happened to them, which is really nice. But I've sort of got to a point now where, I sort of, and this is how it started. So from the group, I've now created a website, which is like a directory style sort of website. And so I was sort of, you know, I sort of felt a responsibility to direct people to somewhere that, you know, they could be getting the right advice. Cause you know, you see where people have the best of intentions and they try and help, it's not always the right advice.
Yep.
So I really wanted to have a place, and I had a lot of interest from businesses contacting me saying, oh, you know, we really would like to get involved and we really sort of, you know, want to advertise to your group. And I thought, I don't really know how to do it. So I sort of came up with directory style so that when people are asking, you know, questions, and a lot of them are common questions, they come up over and over again, that I can direct them somewhere where I know that they're getting the correct advice.
Yeah, cool.
Which I think is really important because you don't want them to sort of get going around in circles and not getting anywhere.
That's right.
It's a hard balance, I think, between allowing the conversations to remain organic and people to share their experiences, and having somewhere that you can refer them to that has that expert advice that they need. So for me, the website's a real natural progression that means that the group still remains an authentic place to have a conversation with another tradie wife who understands the struggles.
Exactly. And so you can still come on and have, you know, a vent, or, you know, say, oh, this has happened, or you were going through this, and everyone can come up, you know, and support you. But also, once you've got that support, you can then know that you can be directed to someone that can help you, you know, rectify whatever you're going through.
Yeah.
I think some of the favourite conversations I've noticed in the group are those of support, of, you know, that we'll have a vent because, you know, being a tradie wife is not the easiest thing in the world. And it allows us that opportunity to have a good vent about the fact that my husband doesn't wear shorts without silicon stains all over them, or he has these horrible tan lines every time we go out somewhere and he's wearing no socks. It's, you know, they're frivolous things, but not everybody understands that they can be pain points in your relationship, or points of frustration, I suppose. So when you have a group of like-minded people together, you do get to share that experience and you don't feel so isolated.
That's right. And some of them are so funny. Some of them I've been seeing are hilarious. Like a lady the other day was saying about how, you know, her husband's a plumber and after 4 years she finally got a toilet roll holder.
I was so excited, wasn't it?
And, you know, like, and everyone's jumping on board going, oh, my gosh, this is, you know, saying the same sort of thing. And I was in an Uber the other day and I was talking to the Uber driver and he said, oh, you know, so what do you do for work? And I said, I work with my husband and he's got a landscaping business. And he said, oh, I bet you have the most beautiful garden. I went,
no.
Our garden's pretty much dead. Like,
yeah.
It's I've weeds and gravel.
I've had herbs sitting there ready to pot that are all dead now. Like, the garden's so overgrown. Like, it hasn't been weeded in, like, 2 years.
Yeah.
I do most of the gardening.
Yep.
And I said, definitely we don't have a nice garden.
Yeah. No, we only finish houses to move out of them. It's the only time we finish them.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
It's terrible.
But it's it is it's a common thing though, because we have this weird idea that just because you're a landscape gardener or a landscaper that you're going to have this immaculate yard. But the reality is Craig's probably off so busy working with clients and taking care of their stuff. It's the last thing he feels like doing when he comes home.
Yeah.
And I suspect, you know, I've talked before on my other podcast that has morphed into this one about, I guess this, it's not a gender thing so much. I think it's just roles that naturally evolve, you know, when you end up in a life partnership with someone, obviously it evolves into the man-woman thing, you know, if we sort of stick with that version.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're different creatures. Blokes think differently to women.
Yeah.
But you know, as a coach and a mentor, it does frustrate me as well, where it's like, why can't you guys just work together better? You know, just communicate better.
Yeah, that's right.
And I suppose from my perspective, I don't have a woman's perspective. You know, I can't imagine what it's like being married to a tradie, living with one, you know, trying to work with him, getting to do paperwork and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
I mean,
I
don't know. Is there an answer to this, or are we just stuck with this whole scenario, and your group is going to have 50,000 members in the next few years because there'll be more and more women just complaining about their men.
Yeah, that's right. What do I do?
Yeah.
Look, I think it's just, you know, I think with the right advice and support, I think there is a way to find the balance. I think, you know, sometimes you're just going through things, not really knowing. I think where a lot of the stress comes from is not really knowing how to do things.
Mm.
I think for me, it's like you get frustrated and then you take it out on each other and then, you know, it gets overwhelming and you have all these things that you need to do and you don't have any answers of how to do them, or you don't know what to do or where to get help. And I think that sort of adds the pressure on. But I think if you have, you know, like the right support, you have the right people behind you, whether it be, you know, accountants, insurance brokers, web people to do your website and that sort of stuff, you know, mentors, I think that takes a lot of the pressure off because it's all set. There's systems, there's procedures, you know how things are done, you know to where to go for help, you know the right people to ask, you've built relationships with them. So I think that takes a lot of the pressure off. So I do think it's doable.
Mm.
I think it's hard to get there, but hopefully with this group, I can sort of hopefully take some of the pressure off them by getting the right people on board. So that's my goal ultimately.
So within your business structure, Verity, was the point that you understood that you needed help to do all the things that you do?
Well, when it came to tax time, I never wanted to, when I started, I was like, oh, I'm really good with, you know, the marketing and advertising side of it. Bookkeeping. I don't want to touch it, Craig. I do not want anything to do with the books. Like, I'm shocking
smart
at maths.
Lady.
At school.
Yeah,
I
smart lady.
Hated maths. I'm bad at it. And so I just didn't want to touch it. And then a girlfriend of mine, she said, oh, you should just download the, you know, Xero. Just have a look. It's a free trial. She goes, it's really, really easy. And I said, yeah, for you, but it won't be for me. just have a look. And then she'd been to like a lady locally who, you know, did training in Xero.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, I think you're really lucky. You should just go. And it was coming to tax time, and I just felt really overwhelmed with everything, and Craig just throwing receipts at me, and I was like, ah, what do I do? So I went to this course, and I thought, oh, actually, it is quite easy. So then, you know, Craig had an accountant at the time who wasn't very good, mm-hmm. Wasn't suited to us. Mm-hmm. So we went to another one. He also wasn't quite suited mm-hmm. to what we needed.
Right.
And then we found a fantastic one. So
good. Cool. So you went through a few. Can I just jump in on that point, Verity, because it's an important one.
Yeah.
So you went through two accountants before you found the one that really fit you, or three?
Yeah. Two. Yeah.
It's such a common thing, and it's the same with bookkeepers or solicitors or, crikey, even business mentors. There's only one podcast you should listen to, and that's the Tradies in Business.
That's right, yeah.
but so often people have a bad experience with their accountant, but they won't move, or they're not happy with their bookkeeper, or they just feel like maybe it's not right, and they don't change. And I think the men, and I'm going to drop us in this, are probably the worst with that.
Yeah.
Is we won't make that change.
Yeah.
Do you find that flows into other areas within the business? Like just not being willing to change.
Yeah, set in your ways. Yep. I think. Yeah, you do. You do. I say to Craig, oh, I think this is a better way to do it. We should do it this way. And he goes, yeah. He does it. Like for him moving over from using Excel for his quoting and invoicing like to going into Xero was the biggest like – even now, he still does it in Excel, and I just transfer it over.
So you just fix it after he makes a move.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I let him do it. It's easier for me to just put it in Xero. So, yeah, he doesn't – like, Craig doesn't even use Facebook. Like, he has no idea. Like, he hates Facebook. He doesn't want to be on it. Like, he goes on it sometimes and goes, oh, yeah. He just really doesn't, you know, like all that sort of social media stuff. And,
okay.
And, yeah, so he's sort of like he's quite set in his ways. So I just sort of let him do whatever, you know. Just let him do it and then I just do it my way. Like, so he just does it and then I just transfer it to my way of doing it. But some of the things that, you know, like, so it would be so much easier if we did this, or, you know, perhaps we could send the quote this way, or
Right.
Yeah, he's very set in his ways.
Okay.
Do you think that's the point at which playing to your strengths and weaknesses really comes in business? I know from my own experience, my own husband wasn't great at a lot of the things that you've just touched on. So they were where I started to flex my muscle in the business and have a real control point, I suppose, for the business. Yeah. Because a lot of, and something that I see often in the group is that as the tradie wives or the tradie partners, we don't value our role in the business, and yet it's as important as the tradie themselves. So for me, it was about finding a part in the business that I could flex my muscle or feel like I had that control over. Have you found the same, Verity?
Yeah. Definitely. Well, obviously, as I said before, definitely the social media side of things. Mm. I think that's sort of, because I really enjoy being on social media. I'm always on it. And I really enjoy it, and Craig doesn't like it at all. But a lot of work he's had has come from social media. It's like, you know, the Facebook ads that you run and that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because sometimes he comes home and he goes, oh, you know, this person called me today. I'm going to do this quote. And I said, oh, yeah, what was that on HiPages or how did you? And he said, oh, no, they saw something on the internet or something. And I was like,
Just on the internet.
Did they really? Yeah. I don't know. They saw a deck we did on our Instagram. And I was like, yes, Instagram. And, I said, oh, really? So you think that's – I'm doing a good job there. And he goes, I said, I think I deserve a pay rise, Craig. And he goes, yeah, well, we'll see. Yeah.
double nothing is nothing.
Pay, maybe.
Something's better than nothing.
But, yeah, I think that you do play to your strengths, and there are some points that you know that you are, you know, you can take over to take the pressure off them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah.
So how long have you had the group running now?
Since April.
Wow. That's grown very quickly.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know, have you seen some I don't like the term success stories, but have you seen some evolving developments with some of the members where they've, brought an issue to the table and got some support and gone and made some changes and actually had a positive outcome there?
Yeah. I have. It's really good. And a lot of people they've connected with, people on the, in the group as well, like logo designers or people to help with their website, or, you know, they've had bookkeeping questions and they've, you know, they haven't known where to go, and they've got bookkeepers from the group and built relationships with them. So I have, a lot of the time I notice that problems they come on with are resolved, you know, quite quickly, or they get advice of people. For, I think someone the other day bought some, you know, like some new piece of machinery, because they said they, we came onto the group and we didn't know and we asked your advice, and thanks to you guys, we've now got this. And they took a picture of what they'd bought and put it on. So we've now got this. Thanks so much for your help. And, oh, it's so nice. And I see people connecting with other people, like sort of making friendships and, you know, writing about that through the, I met with this person the other day and we're going to catch up for coffee again. Or so it's really nice. Yeah, it's really nice to see people, you know, getting value and benefit out of the group being there.
That's brilliant.
On that point of value, I think your group's the most positive group that I have had anything to do with. How do you keep it such a positive space for the women to be in?
I think you've got to set some kind of a you know, like a standard, I think. There has been some issues that I've dealt with as it's gone along. You know, like if people have a difference of opinion, you're always going to get that matter where you are in life. Difference of opinion, and then people take it the wrong way and they, you know, they start messaging me going, this person's and I sort of just, you know, I just keep it as neutral as I can. I said, you know, you've got the rules there. If you're ever confused or if you ever, you know, don't know what you should be writing, just have a look at the rules. And if they keep with them, you know, keep going. Sometimes I turn off commenting and things like that. But I think everyone pretty much, I think it's, you know, everyone's in the same boat. So they really, you know, they really understand where the other person's coming from as well. So I think that there's sort of like this friendship created because, you know, everyone's feeling the same, and there's no reason to be nasty or, you know.
I agree.
There's no stupid questions.
No.
You know, we've all been there. So I think everyone just sort of knows now that, you know, and I think because I'm still approving all the posts and everything, so if, which is, you know, it does take a lot of time, but I just want to make sure that it's staying, you know, positive and relevant as well, which I think helps.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued to know how long it takes you in a day to moderate.
Takes a little while. It takes some time, but you sort of just got to, I just do it as I go. Like I just sort of scan things and I just, you know, and then at the end of the day, I probably sit down for about, you know, an hour with a glass of wine at night, and I just sort of make sure everyone's posts are being responded to and everything. So, I sort of just fit it into what I'm doing as I go.
Fair enough.
I went and saw Gary Vaynerchuk a couple of weeks ago live in Brisbane. And for any listeners that don't know who Gary V is or Gary Vaynerchuk, go look him up. Gary V, Ask Gary V is one of his big platforms where you can ask him all sorts of business questions. But he said that he personally replies to all comments and messages on his Instagram. And I don't know. I can't get my head around that. Like, he's got 4.1 million followers or something on Instagram.
Wow.
I know not all of them comment, but do you reply to everything on there or comment on everything, or do you have a bit of a policy where you have to just, like, focus on the impactful few or something?
I always make sure I comment on new people. If I see people that comment, you know, quite frequently, obviously, like, I've already made sort of a connection with them. So I don't feel the need to when they, you know, they're posting quite regularly. But if I see somebody post for the first time or someone new that's just joined that's posted, then, yeah, definitely I'll make contact with them just, you know, to welcome them to the group and, you know, make sure that they know that they're, you know, welcome. And
Yeah. So what, if you weren't doing this, what would you be doing, Verity?
Oh, I don't even know anymore. Craig says to me sometimes, he goes, hey, remember when you used to work for Evolution, which is his business? I don't really see much of that going on these days. Don't worry, Craig, I've got it all under control.
Yeah. You just keep answering the phone for those leads coming in from Instagram.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Don't forget about me.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, if I wasn't doing all of this, I really don't know. I think I'd probably go back into a, you know, a hospitality role again or.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I don't hear too many people say they'd like to go back to hospitality.
No.
I'm still in it. I actually still work on the weekends at a cafe, a local cafe,
Then
a Friday night down at a local restaurant as well.
Wow.
Because I've worked for them in the past, and now we sort of become friends, so I sort of do it just to help them out.
Yeah.
But I enjoy it as well because it gets me, you know, as soon as I get to work on a whatever Saturday morning, everyone talk to me. Yeah. I've been on my own all week. Everyone,
I've been staring at a screen. Yeah.
Yeah. So I enjoy, you know.
That's another big void that the group fills because it's not something we talk about a lot, but conversation I've had with my husband a lot is he gets to go off to work and the clients are happy with the job generally, sometimes not, but most of the time, you know, at the end of the day, you can see what he's done in the day and there's some praise from somebody on site or opportunity to have conversations on site, whereas what we do all day is just reduce one pile of paper from one side of the desk to the other, seemingly.
That's a pretty dim view of a tradie wife.
Well, it is probably not as positive as it should be, but the truth is that's what it feels like day after day. It's just this monotonous, ongoing pile of paperwork that needs to be shuffled around in one form or another, and that's not necessarily exactly all we do. Obviously, there's a lot more than that, but it can be quite an isolating job, and I find that's where the group really fills a big void, is there is this wealth of other women who are happy to share their experiences and talk and just have a chat, catch up, make us feel less lonely.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's really nice. And it's a really, like you were saying, a positive place to be, and, you know, I think it picks you up when you're feeling a bit down, a bit isolated.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah.
It leads me to a question then, as the man in the studio here, how can us blokes do a better job? Like, for the tradie men listening, the husbands, the partners, whatever, how can we do a better job of working with our wives?
Be open to change, like we were just talking about before. Like, and I said, okay, really help if, like, you just got the Xero app and as you went just took pictures of receipts and uploaded them rather than just throw them on the desk at the end of the day, like in a big heap. That would help. And, I think it's just, you know, and I think obviously being on the job is pretty overwhelming. So I totally understand, like, it's hard to then come and think about, you know, doing new things. And but I think... Yeah, just it's hard being more organized.
Being more organized, yeah.
Yeah, just sort of, you know, having your own sort of, you know, procedures and way of doing things and knowing, okay, I've got to upload these receipts into Xero, I've got to do this. Just, you know, nothing big, just minor changes would be helpful.
I'm going to jump in and say communication's a big one. I think most tradies are taught to work on their own and be independent and therefore communicating with us wives is often the last thing on the list.
Yeah.
And, you know, we used to open our home as a display home, as a renovated display home. And I would often hear Adam bustling somebody in the door because somebody's coming to look at the house. So, you know, the communication really goes out the window at points. So if they could just communicate a little bit more, the house would be clean when those people arrive.
Yeah, that's right. Communication is a big thing. And and I think as well, like, you know, we talk about all this sort of tradie mental health stuff as well. Mm. I know that Craig is very, you know, if he's stressed about something, he won't tell me. He'll just sort of stew on it. Like, he'll be so worried about something or dealing with a client or something that's happened that he just sort of tries to work it out by himself where, you know, and then I can see him sort of get so worked up about something and I think just, you know, let, you know, someone help you or just talked about it and know that someone's been in the same situation as you, I think it would make it so much easier. The other day I was saying to him, I said, oh, you know, I've sort of, you know, with this group been out of my comfort zone a bit, you know, like doing things like podcasts and meeting, you know, a lot of people want to catch up, which is great, but I get really nervous. And I said to him, I feel like I've been nervous for about 2 months straight now. And he goes, oh, well, how do you think I feel? Like, I've been nervous for about 15 years of my life. And I said, why? I said, do you still get nervous doing quotes? He goes, no, not quotes. Like, just chasing people for money makes me feel really nervous.
Of course.
Said, yeah.
Wow. I didn't even ever, like, it was just funny how it came out. And I said, I didn't even realize you got nervous. And he goes, I hate asking people for money. Even when I've done the work, I hate, you know, chasing them for money. It makes me really uncomfortable.
Mm.
That is one of the most persistent issues that I see with tradies and tradie men especially, and I've literally had two conversations in the last 24 hours with clients of mine about going and getting the money that's theirs.
Yeah.
It's crazy. You know, they've done the work, they've supplied the materials. In some cases, they've issued an invoice, but in other instances, they haven't even raised an invoice because they just feel bad.
Feel nervous,
yeah. And, yeah, they don't want to confront someone. It's like, oh, you know, I don't want to jeopardize the relationship or whatever. It's like, dude, it's your money.
Yeah, that's right. You've done the work.
And I see it over and over and over again. I mean, what do you think's going on there, Verity?
I think it's a natural thing as well. I think anyone that, you know, with people that owe them money, even not just for men, women as well, I think you get uncomfortable. You feel like, oh, I don't want to, you know, like make the other person feel uncomfortable as well. When it's, you know, you're owed the money, I think it's a really funny thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. You just don't want to feel like you're hassling them or, yeah, like you said, you don't want to jeopardize the relationship with them. But then at the end of the day, like, and I always use this example with Craig, I said, you know, you don't, you know, we've had a lot of instances where we're chasing money or they just, you know, especially when it comes to the final payment, they go, oh, I'm just waiting for a payment to come through or, you know, oh, I haven't been paid yet, so I can't pay you or, you know, oh, I can only transfer this much a day or whatever. And I said to Craig, you know, like when you know you're doing a big job, you get organized and you know that you have to pay them. And I said, you know, you go to Woolworths, you get a trolley full of shopping, you come out through the checkout and you don't say to them, oh, I'm just waiting for some money to come through and then I'll pay you for these groceries.
Mm-hmm.
I said, because you'd be arrested or you'd be made to put them back. Yeah. I said, so why is it different in it particularly? I know it happens so much in trade where people just don't pay. They don't want, especially the final payment I find, they just, they keep making up excuses as to why they, you know, they can't pay you for a while. So, yeah, it is a really – I think it's a really common thing and I think it's a really awkward thing to, you know. And I think it puts a lot of pressure on you as well when you're dealing with everything else that goes along with the business to then have to worry about, you know, chasing someone for money. It's hard.
Absolutely. It's something I would love to see change in the industry, the trade industries. And I'll probably get some hate mail over this, but the reality is – tradies have trained people to do that.
Yeah. You know,
as business owners, we've trained customers that it's okay to do that because we've allowed it to happen as a collective whole. And it's tough to be an individual in that group and go, but I didn't do that.
Yeah.
And it's like, but you're part of that industry and you continue to allow it. And therefore consumers continue to think that that's either okay or expected, or that's just how it is. You know, it's like some of the other issues on site and those sorts of things with language and violence and bullying and it's like when we accept those things or just allow them to happen, we actually inadvertently promote it and give that life. So
it becomes a standard, doesn't it?
So just send your hate mail to Nicole @ Trades in Business.
Why do I get the hate mail?
Well, because you're a better communicator. You're a woman.
Now you're getting dangerous. Where are those boxing gloves?
So, Verity, if there was, I guess, it's almost like you speak on behalf of nearly 4,000 tradie wives, right? You're like the spokesperson for this massive group of tradie wives. What would you say tradie wives wished tradies did? You know, what's like two or three things that you just wished that every tradie was doing? I know you talked before about being more organized and those sorts of things, but you would have seen such a cross-section of complaints and comments and inspirational stories and everything. What do we need to do?
I think we don't have kids yet, so I can't really comment on that. But a lot of the people say that they wish that they helped more with the kids particularly. They've sort of, you know, the tradie wife is there doing all the paperwork and sort of running the house and the washing and cleaning, dropping the kids here, there and everywhere. And the tradies are very exhausted, obviously, at the end of the day. So they feel like they don't, you know, I think they don't perhaps help as much as what the wife wishes that they did.
Mm-hmm.
So I think sort of, like in terms of communication, like sort of being there a bit more, you know, obviously understanding how hard it is for the wife to take all this on, not knowing what she's doing and just sort of feeling a way through it.
Mm. Absolutely.
And it's very stressful to sort of create a role for yourself and know what you should be doing or how you should be doing it.
Mm.
And then on top of that, you've got, you know, the kids and everything else. I think being more understanding with what we do and how it does play quite an important role,
mm-hmm.
You know, in the business, and maybe appreciating that a little bit more might be one.
Mm-hmm. I think that should be top of the list.
showing appreciation. I think that's, you know, I'm trying to think what else I've seen in the group.
I need a third one because three is always a better list of things.
If you're a plumber, to put in, if you're a landscaper, have a nice garden, to finish what you start.
Ah, nice, like nice packaging. Yeah. You're in marketing, aren't you?
It's my new campaign. Finish what you start. That's always a good one. We did a renovation. We bought a house a little while ago, an investment property, and Craig said, oh, this is just going to be a quick 2-week reno.
Oh, there's the big sign.
I said a 2-week reno. I said it's full of asbestos for one. How is this going to be a 2-week reno?
You just sheet over the top of it. It's
just
fine.
Trust me. Yeah, that's right. Just trust me. And I go, yeah, okay. Because we haven't really budgeted for this. So, like, you know, I don't know where we're going to be finding this money for. Anyway, so it went on for 14 months.
Nice. Nice. Yeah.
Yep,
it's a common tale.
Yeah. So,
common tale.
So what's the future for Tradie Wives? What's your vision?
Well, I think firstly is sort of getting this this sort of directory, you know, pumped up, getting some really great people on the directory so that, you know, we have, like, you know, quite a range that people can be directed to when they're asking for advice. The next thing is probably going to be some sort of, you know, networking and training events probably next year. A lot of things have come up in the group of people not knowing, you know, things like, you know, how to use Xero or Mailbo, whatever they're using, how to do things like social media, how to, you know, have your Instagram and Facebook running properly, what platforms in social media you should be using, how to do ads, that sort of thing. So I think we're sort of going to look at doing some training events, you know, getting people out, you know, to do, you know, talks on, you know, how to do whatever it may be that they're, you know, wanting, and just getting people there to sort of network and meet each other and then sort of learn together as well. I think that's sort of what the next thing will be.
Awesome.
And then eventually, hopefully, it can just be like a go-to place for, you know, people who, like me in the beginning, had no idea what they were doing and can just jump onto a group and just and get it all sorted out. So
yeah,
just feel like they're not, you know, wading through the dark, not knowing what they're doing.
Mm.
I think your group's already there, Verity. I asked a question yesterday to find something in particular I needed and had an influx of new businesses that I hadn't experienced before. So I do think it's actually there. I think you're this is going to snowball over and over for you.
Mm.
Oh, good. That's great to hear. Thank you.
So if someone's listening to this, and blokes, I think you're probably out on this one, unless you can sort of come up with a pseudonym. I'd have to be Warwickina or something like that.
Warwickina.
You're going to look great in a skirt.
It's not the first time I've dressed in drag. I did a CrossFit competition recently dressed as a female CrossFitter and One of the crew actually posted a pic of the back of me wearing like a chick's crop top and a wig and put it in her like chick's CrossFitting group or something. And one of the comments came back and said, oh my gosh, who is that woman? She's got an amazing back. And I didn't quite know how to take that.
Team, I'm going to get that photo. We are going to find that photo. We are going to out was on that photo.
So unless you can dress in drag and be mistaken for a female CrossFitter,
it's
probably for women. But if Tradie Wives want to find out more about your group and your website, Verity, what's the best place to do that?
You can definitely, have a look at the group. And the website is just www.tradiewives.com.au.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a link to the group. So you can go onto the website and you can join the group as well through there.
Awesome.
So, we welcome all the new Tradie Wives as well because it's a really great place to be. And I hope that people, you know, out there that are feeling a bit stuck and alone can come on and meet some, you know, like-minded people.
And your other social handles, I'm guessing you're on Instagram by the sounds of things.
Yeah, we are, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
On Instagram as well, yeah. That's a bit slower burning, but yeah, we're there.
Awesome, awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it's been great to chat to you, and well done too. That's an impressive effort.
Thank you.
Not only starting the group and having it grow, obviously you've created a space to allow that, but also to juggle that with being a tradie wife yourself. And I think, you know, that authenticity is really, really cool. And it's certainly something that resonates with Nicole and I here on the show. So, yeah, well done.
Thank you,
Verity. I'd just like to say thank you on behalf of all the tradie wives. Now I'll speak for your 4,000 members. Thank you for creating, just having the foresight to create a place where we can all get together and have a chat. Thank you.
Oh, good. No, you're my pleasure.
You've inspired me to start Tradie Husbands.
Oh, well, there's a thought on that. I think it's already been done.
Oh, bugger.
Okay. I did start a tradie man thing because I had a lot of the husbands wanting to come in as well. We want to join. I thought, I really want to keep it just to the but I sort of started this other one called Tradie Men, which is just not really doing anything.
It doesn't work.
But it's there.
It's because we've got to talk for it to
we
work.
Suck at communication. Yeah.
There's people in there, but no one's saying anything.
No, they're just scrolling through looking at the photos.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, thanks again for your time, Verity, and awesome to have you on the show. And no doubt it won't be the last we hear from you. So.
That's great. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure.
Thank you. So what did you think of that was?
Well, I'm still stuck on my earlier comment that, you know, we're not at the same level.
Was. I really should thump you. We need to record these so everyone can see me.
Yeah, we turned off the video, thankfully. Oh, look, I'm just blown away that after 6 months, there's nearly 4,000 tradie wives all in a group swapping stories, helping each other. I mean, it's awesome.
Sure.
And I think for me, it's an indication of how much something like this is needed.
Can I tell you how lonely I was when I started in business? I was so lonely. I would have loved something like this at that time.
Mm.
It's obviously very necessary.
Yeah.
I'm not the only one.
And I do see in my work as tradie wingman, and I'm sure you see this through the Builder's Wife blog and your events and everything as well, is that tradie wives are probably a little forgotten. And
definitely.
You know, it's like, I don't want to diss on the tradies, on the blokes, but I do see them neglect their wives a bit. And I have a few tradie wives who have poured their hearts out to me over the years, I got to say. And it's just, I get frustrated with some of the men out there.
I just think that for a long time the focus has been on the men in the business, and there's so much more to a business than the tradie and what he's doing all day.
It is definitely a team effort, and look, generally speaking, I think tradies get missed out a bit in the industry and in economics and politics, and obviously that's what we want to change here at Tradies in Business. So if you are a tradie wife, make sure you go and check out Verity's group, Tradie Wives, on Facebook. Simple as that.
While you're over on Facebook, come find us, Tradies in Business. Check out the group section, type it in, we'll be there. Woz and I will be playing around in the pond, but mostly we're just there to say hi and stop in with an interesting question from time to time. It's been some great conversations with our members, helping each other out, talking about holidays. Fancy taking a holiday in a tradie business.
Does that
happen? You can.
Ooh, okay.
You can. So pop on over to Facebook and say good day.
Yep, Tradies in Business. Great having you with us. Thanks again. We'll talk to you next episode.
Bye. Bye.
You've been listening to the Tradies in Business podcast with Warwick Bidwell and Nicole Cox. Find out more about today's guest, tools for your trade business, and other cool stuff at tradiesinbusiness.com.au.